Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 292, recorded April 25th, 2016.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello, we're still here. We gotta at least stay till 300, right?
Yeah, one would hope so. Alright, so who do we have for the show today?
We have Matt in Perth, Western Australia, Steve in Lincoln, Nebraska, and Jeremy in Illinois.
I think it's Red Bud, but I could be wrong.
Red Bud?
Illinois.
B-U-D?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Well, let's go ahead.
Okay. Start with Matt. He says, "Good day, Kelly and Russ. I have made progress on my 180-liter marine aquarium. I managed to remove the glass rail on the short edge using a brand new Stanley retractable utility knife. The process used up a few of the blades as silicone is strong stuff and did not want to yield. Now that the glass edge was not there anymore, I could install a skimmer. I bought a how did we say that you said that?
There you go.
250 reef pack to filter my aquarium. The reef pack includes an internal filter, filter media, 13-liter bucket with a resealable lid, and Tunze 9004 protein skimmer. Both the skimmer and the filter have surface intakes to remove the surface film from the tank. They are not doing a great job of this because the Tunze 6040 powerhead keeps pushing the surface film away from the skimmer and filter. There is always a complication, isn't there? However, they are doing a good job of filtering the water, and I'm enjoying the peace of mind I get from the filtration. I was wondering if you guys know what is the best media to add to the filter to remove nitrate and phosphate. Right now, I am using activated carbon, filter wool to catch debris, and Seachem Phosguard. I thought about using granular ferric oxide, but I suspect that needs to be suspended in constant water flow. That is not what my filter offers. The media is stationary, and the water flows through it."
Yeah, I'm not sure that I know what would be the best one to use in that case.
For marine.
I like Seachem as a brand. I haven't used Phosguard specifically, but I would tend to, based on what I know of Seachem products that I have tried, there's a pretty good company. They produce good stuff, so hopefully that's helping. I mean, hopefully also the live rock, and I think you didn't put live rock in there initially, if I remember from last episode, because you're using base rock so that you wouldn't be adding the phosphate stored up in the live rock to the tank. But once live rock is doing what it's supposed to, it does denitrify it, so you'd be getting rid of some nitrate that way. But and as far as like a chemical medium, I'm not sure.
You want to open that up?
Yeah,
you know, people with
those of you with marine aquariums out there, what do you recommend for removing nitrate and phosphate specifically?
Okay, let's go on. He says, "I now have 5 fish in my aquarium, and that is plenty. Having fish again really makes the difference between a good and great aquarium. My new inhabitants are bicolor blenny, bicolor dwarf angelfish, 6-line wrasse, and breeding pair of Ocellaris clownfish."
We used to have a bicolor blenny.
Was that,
do you remember him?
Which were his colors?
Well, I'm kind of colorblind, but I think he was yellow and purple.
Okay, that sounds familiar.
Yellow and one half and purple, and he had eyebrows.
Did we have him in the little wee?
We had him in the 10-gallon marine tank, and his name was Roger the Shrubber.
Oh, yes, yes.
Named after the Monty Python character.
Yes, I remember that now.
Yeah. He was a
because, you know,
fish.
You can't. We couldn't get a red herring, so... We just had to get a blenny and name him Roger the Shrubber.
Yeah, and because he, you know, he scraped algae off of things, so it's kind of like a shrubbery.
Yes, and every once in a while you had to look at him and say, "Me!"
Yeah, and then he'd say, "Oh no, you've said it again!"
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Tangent. Okay, so breeding pair of Ocellaris clownfish.
Okay. Now, angelfish are known to be coral eaters. I own many corals. However, there are some species that it is possible to get away with keeping in a reef aquarium. The bicolor angelfish is one of these. I can't prove it, but I suspect my blenny is a bit more of an issue for the corals. The purple gonoporia is retracting more than usual since I introduced the blenny. I introduced the angelfish at a later date, so I don't think he is causing the issue. One of the...
Akens?
Akens?
I'm not sure how that's pronounced, but it is referring to one of the corals.
Oh, okay. It is looking a little worse for wear, too, but it would be extremely difficult to catch a blenny. They love hiding...
Hold on.
...in crevices.
Yeah, I think that's... I think he's referring to a coral.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have to remove a lot of the live rock or get a really lucky catch to catch him. As it is. So I am feeding them more often in the hopes to keep Mr. Blenny fat and docile. So perhaps he should feed him the minstrels.
And there would be much rejoicing?
There would be much rejoicing, yes. The breeding Ocellaris clownfish I bought not because they can breed, but because they won't kill each other. We all know the problems I had with my previous Ocellaris clownfish killing off any other clownfish that I tried to introduce. They look quite funny trying to host in my small anemones as they are longer than the anemones. I used to have one big anemone. It divided twice, producing three smaller anemones. The clownfish are about 5 centimeters long. My purple mushroom corals are doing great. I bought 3 on a piece of rock and now have 5. One is on a bit of rock on the other side of the aquarium, so obviously the mushrooms can release some kind of coral seed into the water flow.
Hmm. So hopefully the anemones will be okay with the clownfish trying to host in them when they're not small. I've heard there can be problems with that. That if the anemone is too small, the coral can actually irritate it to the point of causing it stress and distress. So hopefully that'll be okay. But something to keep an eye on anyway, and maybe do a bit of research on that. I probably should have looked into that and seen if I could find something on that, but I haven't done that. As far as mushroom corals go, I have had lots of success. Well, it's been a while, but I had success with mushroom corals when we had a marine tank, and they would do that same thing where you'd find one piece somewhere else in another part of the tank, and I know that they can reproduce by budding, just like a lot of other corals, and they'll often reproduce close to one another. And sometimes one bit would get caught in a current and end up somewhere else. But I wonder about them spreading, like you were mentioning, coral seed, if they reproduce sexually in aquariums or not, I don't know. But I would certainly get pieces of them showing up in different parts of the tank. They were fun that way. Reproduced very easily. They were the first corals that I had that reproduced successfully, so.
Okay, he goes on. I have a lot of new coral, but it is too much to list right now. I will try to take some more photographs soon. I have to make sure the glass is clean, the corals are reasonably still, and the fish is in a good spot. That is not an easy task.
That's true.
It's mostly an impossible task.
Aquarium photography is tricky.
Yes.
Can be fun, though.
On to the audio-video discussion. I listen to many podcasts, many of which have both audio and video versions of the same podcast. It is more fun to watch the podcast instead of listen to it. The problem is you can't do something else while watching a podcast. You can do that while listening to a podcast. There are also problems of talking about things that you can't understand without watching the video. So if you upload YouTube videos of the podcast, remember that some of us are listening, not watching the podcast. I think video audio podcasts work best when the video only enhances the experience, but it does not detract from the audio only experience. Tony from New York talked about another podcast called Reef Threads. That podcast started just reading reef forums and responding to posts. In that vein, you guys could do a little web surfing if you are light on topics or contributors for a podcast. I hope that advice is helpful.
That Matt. Is a good idea, yes. And I've actually been considering it, and I should have gone and done a little bit more research about the clownfish and the anemones, and I could have done that, but it didn't occur to me, and things have been a little crazy lately. But it is a good idea, and I hope to be able to implement it in the future.
Oh, you know what I want?
What?
I read a thing the other day that made me think of Matt.
What was it?
Okay. Our fourth grader, our 10-year-old, Gwen, she brings home a homework packet at the beginning of the week, and then they have a week to work on it, and they turn it in on Friday. And there's always, like, a little reading selection that they're supposed to read in a certain amount of time and answer questions about for comprehension and blah blah blah. And this one just happened to be about the metric system in the US.
Really?
Yes. And it was very funny because it was talking about how, and I'm going to mess it up because I think she's already turned this one in, so I don't have it to refer to, but it was talking about how the US actually signed whatever treaty of metric system it was in like 1800 something and everything. And they just never got around to, like, changing the street signs or whatever. Implementing stuff. But it was just funny because it was saying, oh, yes, it's there. It's just not there as a practical matter. But it was funny. It made me think of Matt, so.
That is funny.
Yes. Okay. Has absolutely nothing to do with fish. But that's okay. Neither do I.
I have some... What?
I'm not a fish.
But you have things to do with fish.
I have to do with you.
I know, but there are fish right there.
Yeah, I know.
You like those fish.
I like those fish. Those are good fish. See? We can keep them.
What do you mean you have nothing to do with fish? That's silly.
Oh, okay.
Here's something that almost has to do with fish.
What?
Just as another tangent. We were going through some ancient newspapers.
Oh, yeah. You ought to post it on the Facebook page.
And I will if I can. Some ancient newspapers that had some family china packed up in them that we had just inherited. Mm-hmm. And the newspapers were from 1978. And one of the newspapers our son noticed, there was an advertisement for a 36-inch spherical terrarium for $12. It was being sold by a furniture store.
I just thought that was pretty funny.
And it had a photograph. Well, not a photograph. It had a drawing of it in the newspaper.
Because, you know, it was 1978.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to take photographs in 1978. I'm teasing.
But it was funny. So, well, maybe I'll put that in there. It was just kind of fun.
Maybe we should. It was just fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
A little bit of a price difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now back to fishy things.
Okay. Steve in Lincoln, Nebraska. Russ and Kelly, I wanted to take the time to say thank you both for all you have been sharing through the podcasts, YouTube, and such. I have listened to every single podcast you have put out. I absolutely look forward every week for the notification of a new podcast. Between the content, the quirkiness that makes the show real, as in real people, not just a production, the openness of sharing, caring, and helping others, and everything else, Aquarimax is the bomb diggity of the aquarium world. I can't thank you enough for all the enjoyment you have brought. You have both brought to this hobby. Thank you so much for sharing and helping others.
Well, thank you, Steve.
That was a very nice thing to say.
Yeah, it was. Thank you very much. We're glad to know that you've been enjoying it and that you've listened to every single podcast.
I know. You get a medal.
You should get the every single podcast
award. Every single podcast award. Every single episode award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve has contributed before.
I'm assuming he's bringing this up in response to our question of should we keep going? Yeah.
Right, but I'm just mentioning this isn't the first time that Steve has contributed. He's contributed before, but it's nice to know that we are the bomb diggity, at least in your eyes.
That's Can I get fair. A t-shirt that says that?
Yeah.
I am the bomb diggity of the aquarium world.
Yes. Or maybe you should get the one that says, I am the bomb diggity, and I should get of the aquarium world.
And we can stand next to each other.
And there'll be little arrows, and we can stand next to each other.
Oh, see?
It's better than the
I'm with
stupid
shirts,
right?
It's a package
deal. You
gotta have us both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I like it.
Okay.
So thank you very much, Steve, in all seriousness.
That was very nice of you. And we have a quick line from Jeremy in Illinois. He says, keep the audio shows coming. I love hearing you guys at work. Okay. So from what we've heard so far, it sounds like people would not be adverse to there being YouTube videos, but they would like the audio version to also keep it on.
Keep going. So that's good to know. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the consensus. We'll keep trying to do that as long as we can feasibly do so.
Mm-hmm.
And... let's see. Did we have anything else for this week?
I've
got Daphnia. They're reproducing.
Yeah.
They're still doing well. I've been enjoying the resurrection of the Daphnia culture.
We had surprise koi over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. We did. Tell them about that. That was fun.
We went to a nursery store to buy some herb starts for our garden that we're going to plant this year.
But it has happened to be the most gigantic nursery we've ever seen.
I know. We didn't know it was going to be so big. And so we went in. And they had a big tropical greenhouse room with two different koi ponds in it. Or no, and a third one with baby koi and a goldfish.
That was just the showroom
but,
part.
Yeah, but we're like, oh, we came for herbs and we get to see pretty koi. It was, you know.
It was fun.
Koi around every corner. It was kind of fun.
Then, later, we noticed they have one greenhouse that's dedicated entirely to koi, goldfish, and aquatic plants.
Mm-hmm.
So these other ones were just for display, but these were for sale.
They sell them too.
Various sizes of koi and quality levels, and they had butterfly koi, and they had shoebunking goldfish, and they had other types of pond goldfish.
And various aquarium, well, aquatic, I should say, plants.
Aquatic plants for your ponds, and it was mm-hmm. it was quite fun.
That was a nice surprise.
Yeah. They had some really beautiful koi and some really beautiful goldfish.
They did. Especially their shoebunking. And there was one with a funny mutation.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about that.
He looked like he was trying to be a unicorn fish.
And I don't know if it was a genetic issue or if it was teratogenic or what it was. It was something was going on, but it had this development on its face where its head was kind of, and it was symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like there was this strange, you know, bizarre malformation so much as it looked like the fish was symmetrical, but it just had a different type of face than most koi.
It was almost kind of like if you took, you know, their little nostrily looking things that are kind of apart from each other and scooted them really close together and then put like a little knob on the top like it was trying to be a unicorn fish.
Yeah, we used to swim with the unicorn fish in Hawaii and they were cool. But this almost looked like, like a very, an emergent sort of mm-hmm. unicorn development or nuchal hump or something.
It was very odd.
It was very strange, but it didn't look like it was inconveniencing the fish in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It looked perfectly healthy. It was just very strange.
Yeah.
It made its head shaped differently, almost like a frontosa cichlid or something.
Yeah.
A little bit like that. It was not
Maybe
the same shape as a koi's face.
Quasimodo.
Maybe they did.
What do you think?
I don't know.
I think that would be fun for a fish to be named that.
You think?
Yeah. Because then he could meet Esmeralda, the other koi, and...
She would be a butterfly koi.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not sure where I'm going with this one.
I don't
I'm
either.
Just, my mouth is just running.
That's okay. I'm doing the same
Sometimes
thing.
Sometimes that happens. Anyways, it was fun to walk around a corner and unexpectedly find koi.
Yeah.
So, until next week...
May the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.